All right. Hello, everyone. It is 6:20, and I am calling our May 26th board meeting to order. Greg, would you like to take attendance, please?
Sure. Davis, are you here?
I am here.
Donald, are you here?
Here.
This is Greg. I'm here. Jan?
Here.
Kara?
I'm here.
Sarah?
Here.
Maru? Looks like Maru is absent. And Christina? Christina is absent. We have quorum.
All right. Do we need to reorder any of our items today? Look like it. Do we have any appreciations? Either from the board or from the community.
I've had a very hit. We've all had a heavy week, a lot going on, obviously. I'll just briefly say that I have a deep personal appreciation this week for the talented staff at Children's Hospital who supported my family very significantly this week, which I'm happy to share more about another time. And then a little bit more universal, just profound gratitude and just in awe of the staff at every school, but certainly here at Urban Montessori for taking care of our children and protecting them and keeping them safe as best as anyone can. And just a lot of love to teachers and to children and to families.
Any other appreciations? All right. Do we have any comments from board members not on the agenda?
Can we go back to appreciations for a second? I have a couple. One's for Phoenix, who's here, who came to 2 out of 3 transition events for families to talk about, let's see, you were at Upper L going to middle school and Lower L going to Upper L. So thank you for attending those. A second one that I have is at the end of all of our staff meetings, we kind of have a process tradition around how we appreciate each other in that moment. And in our staff meeting, when was it?
Yesterday.
What's today? Today's Thursday. Yesterday, there were a lot of appreciations for Krishna for the work that she's doing this year in a tough year, really coming off of 3 really hard years of pandemic. And especially around being about to be the longest lasting head of school we've ever had. So appreciations for Krishna for leading us through some really tough years.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Are there any other appreciations?
I feel like I'm sort of a guest here, but I want to give this back to Daniel because I think in the 7 or 7 years of the school, I have never had these transition meetings. And it really helped. So thank you.
All right. Are there any other appreciations? Anybody? All right. If there are no other appreciations, then we'll move over to board member comment. Do any board members have any comments on items not on today's agenda?
I have one. I don't think it's on the agenda. I don't think it's on the agenda. But I had to miss last month, but I got to listen and appreciated all of the thought and care that went into analyzing the school culture data. And I know that we're like, and I think it was totally right to not do another assessment on that for like this year, but wondering as a topic for a future academic committee to maybe want to think about like on the elements that we are trying to see improvement, specifically around safety and the strategies that are being implemented. Would love to see down the road, like a follow-up conversation around how those strategies have been working. Like, what do we think, you know, has there been progress on that in an interim before we do the next assessment? So just something for academic committee to maybe come back to with for us at a later date.
Thank you very much. Any other board member comments on items not today's agenda? Are there any presentations from the floor? Would any members of the public like to speak on items not on today's agenda? All right. If there are none, then I will hand it over to Krishna for the head of school report.
Well, hello. I think Ryan, you just popped on. Is that Nola? Is Nola in your Zoom? I'm sorry. Forgive me. I have some students hopefully joining me, and I'm trying to determine whether I should do my report first or whether I should have kids do their report.
Yeah, I did log in. Nola is getting ready. So I think if you want to wait another couple minutes.
Great. And like, I'm still hopeful that her partner will be able to show up too, but I know he had a track thing and he was like, I think I'll be on at 6:30. That should be fine, but who knows? Okay. So I'll do my report first, but a little like forewarning that we have at least one student who will be here to share a student report today. Let me get my right screen up. All right, you guys seeing my screen?
Yeah.
Oh, what is happening? That is not what I meant to do. Hang on, sorry. You guys get to watch me mess up on my screen now. Well, we missed you last month, but it sounds like you managed without Daniel and I. Thank you for holding that meeting while we were away. I heard it was short, like record shortness. So I guess I can assume that means that it goes longer because we're here. All right, so this month though, it's May, there's a lot going on. I tried to keep my report a little shorter because we're going to have some students sharing data as well, and I want to leave time for them. So we'll go kind of quickly through our updates. We have our last COVID testing of the year happening this Friday, which is tomorrow. I think it's too late to sign up. I think we actually have like over 100 people signed up, which is it's a uptick again in testing, but that's definitely been an awesome service to be able to offer. Just a reminder, next week we have minimum days Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then Friday is the last day of school, and there is no aftercare on the very last day of school. I'm going to kick this to
just stay muted out this top of you.
Oh, I have my headphones in though, so I don't think that'll work. So I'll mute. Sorry, we're trying to decide if he can talk through my speaker.
Daniel.
Yeah, so in terms of transitioning from one level to another, we've had our placement meetings where we've placed students that are moving up into their new classrooms. All families have gotten letters to say what classrooms their students will be in for next year. And then we also had three transition parent events that concluded this afternoon. We had one for primary to LE on Tuesday, for upper elementary to middle school yesterday, and today we had our lower elementary to upper elementary transition evenings, talking about what the changes in development are and how the classroom adjusts to that, and so kind of a little bit of what to expect. So it was great to see some families there, and if anybody has any other questions, please reach out to me.
I'm not hearing Daniel. I don't know whether I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I wasn't hearing Daniel either. Daniel, you don't look muted, but we weren't hearing you talk about the PD updates. They're figuring out their tech here.
Can you hear Daniel when he speaks?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quiet, but yes.
Speak up.
Here, you can mute again. Okay, now you can hear me better. So staff are finalizing progress reports, which are due for staff on June 3rd. Also, they'll be closing out portfolios and passing along portfolios of students that have been started to their next classroom for students that are moving up a level. And we also had an extensive end of year checklist that we passed out yesterday in our full staff meeting, which includes things like not having to pack away your entire classroom like they have had to do every year for the past 10 years. So we're really excited about that. There are two staff days that come after students are finished, on the 6th and 7th of June, and we'll be closing out and also having opportunities to kind of get together as a whole staff to have a moment together before we leave for the summer. But even though we leave for the summer, we come right back, many of us, for our in-house Montessori training, which is going to start on the 21st. And last 5 weeks. So we're really excited about that. And I think we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in this report.
All right, so a couple of enrollment updates. We are just still deep in registration. There are 30 new families who have like completed absolutely everything to start on the first day of school. 60 more people who are just like in that process and have done some of their paperwork and were awaiting other paperwork. We have 25 open offers out awaiting acceptance. We have waitlists in many grades, not as much in the ones that we would want a lot more students. So if you know any incoming TKs or second graders, definitely still recommend out. That's probably the most likely, easiest. Those are the grades that we have the most availability in, and we're still actively looking for folks. And we're looking great though on the overall enrollment and to meet our budgeted numbers that you'll see in the finance committee in a little bit. It's that time of year, staffing updates. We actually usually leave this in all year, but we want to welcome Melody Washington, who started with us on the 11th. She's our new director of expanded learning and has already jumped into the role and is sending out like surveys to parents. So make sure you're checking those and letting us know if you're interested in aftercare for next year. We are saying some sad farewells to our teachers who have let us know and have let their communities know that they are moving on to new things next year, all for different reasons in this case. And, you know, teacher Anna, though, big shout out. This was her 10th year at Urban Montessori. She's a founding teacher, and time for her to try some new things and move on in her personal career as an educator. So we're really sad to see all of these folks go, but really happy for their next adventures. And just wanted to add, we're in active discussion with our current staff members who are joining our residency training program to step into open lead positions for the fall. And as soon as we have that determine. We'll share that out with community, and you'll see some familiar faces stepping up into exciting new roles as we move into next year.
Okay, so we mentioned earlier that we're starting our own teacher residency training starting this summer. And so this training is going to be a 3-summer program for a Montessori elementary, so age 6 to 12, so grade 1 through 6 diploma. We already have 8 current staff members that are going to be joining our training. 6 of them are current support teachers, 1 lead teacher, 1 of our operations staff. 100% of our staff members that are joining that training are staff of the global majority. We're going to start on June 21st, go through July 22nd. So staff will have 1 week before training and 1 week after training for their summer. So they're going to have a short summer. We're going to go every day, Monday through Friday, from 8:30 to 4:30. And we have made the schedule for it. It's going to be a really, really intense summer with lots of learning. And there's going to be 3 main trainers, Elise Hunicky Stone, who's a longtime AMI trainer, has done many elementary trainings, will be joining us for lots of our training. And I'll be doing some of it, as well as Toby Garcia. Miss Toby are one of our lower elementary classroom teachers who actually trained under Elise in Spokane several years ago. So we're super excited about having everybody in that training and what it's going to look like. And embracing equity, we'll be doing a lot of the ABAR work within that training. And so, yeah, we're excited.
Now, everybody's favorite topic, LCAP. This has been on our agenda a lot over the last few months, and we're in a solid draft zone of this. So please pop in to continually look and comment on our draft plan for next year. We'll be bringing this back to the board for final approval in June. The goals that we had from last year are remaining the same. Much of the actions and investments are similar. There are some changes, but we're still open to our main question, which is like, how do we invest in support of the goals that we have written and in support of our students with the greatest need? We could click through and look through this, and I would ask that, like, keep click open or ask me questions now about the LCAP if you have them. It's a big doc to pull up, but if anybody wants me to pull it up and kind of scroll through the work, some of the main things that were added that are might be fun to look at are the budget overview for parents is in there now, and we have one last expenditure table to put in, and any additional feedback we receive this month between now and the next meeting will be applied, and we'll be looking at the document for final approval at our June board meeting. So I'll drop out of screen share for a moment. If there's any questions, I see my students are both here to present, so we want to get to them soon so that they can like be done with their day. Any questions for me about the board report?
Go ahead, Greg.
Just a brief comment of super appreciation for our new staff and our staff transitioning out and their amazing dedication. The 8 teachers and those people who are training them this summer, amazing. And then on the LCAP, just that it will be on every committee's agenda in June as well. So there's still time for board members and public to continue to engage with the document, or if you don't want to come to a meeting, you can just click on it and comment right on it as well.
I just wanted to add just excitement about this, the training program, and can't believe that Daniel and Krishna have gotten this up and running in addition to everything that they're doing, and already the success of what this can do for like the pipeline of teachers for our school is really incredible, and I'm really excited. And then totally switching gears, I just had a question about enrollment on like, how are you guys, do you have any sense of like conversion rate, for lack of a better word, like how many applications have come in that were seen like become, or like people accept, acceptance rate. That's what I wanted to say. Sorry, I had to get out of my the business mind. Are you feeling good about the like acceptance rate? Like, was our wait list so long and we're like burning through it? Or was it that that there's been a high level of acceptance?
But hey, Buck, are you listening? Buck is on the call and he's like, might know. My sense is that we had a quick acceptance and lots of things, and I'll bring that back. Yeah. And like, if Buck wants to chime in the chat in a little bit or whatever, that'd be great. And then it's, you know, there's always some change, especially in that first round, right? So there's two different things to look at, kind of. It's like that first round acceptance, and then that next, as you like offer more, a lot of people have already accepted other places. It's like, it's complicated. So let me dig into that and like bring that back maybe for next month and see if we can get clearer data, because really Buck manages that piece of it. And I haven't asked him that question. So,
yeah, I mean, and I actually don't think you should prioritize it for next time. I think if anything, as we like move into like next recruitment season, to think about like, you know, what did we see in terms of like initial, you know, offers that were accepted versus, you know, how that changed over time. But I don't,
yeah, okay,
personally don't feel like you need to prioritize, but I'll just, that's just
Buck threw it in the chat. He said he could pull those numbers, but we don't have it super handy because I don't think we've been looking at it exactly that way, but it's interesting to track. But if there's no further questions, I want to honor the fact that I have some students on the call and I want to share their screen. Nola and Robert, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
I see Nola. Okay, awesome. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Do you want me to turn on my screen?
It's nice to see your face. It'd be great if you want to share yourself at least for a minute. Once I share the screen, like, people can't look at you as directly, but we all like to see who's talking. All right. Are you guys seeing this screen here? I'm going to go into slideshow mode and I'm going to turn it over to Nola, who I think is kicking us off.
This Google slide is about why we should change the dress code and all of our collective data. This is like basically what we want to talk about during the slide, how this all started, the work that we have done so far, and what we have hope to do next. And so, yeah. How this all started is basically over the years, the dress code has always bugged, I think, almost everybody. And I think it's because of that. It's gender biased and gender shaming. It limits freedom of expression. It's unfair to ask students to not wear their favorite things. I mean, a lot of students like to wear like shirts with pictures on it. And I think it's pretty unfair to ask students to stop doing that. That's like one of the main things. And so we started a petition. We went to every single classroom and asked for signatures. We even went to the kindergartners, actually. It was very funny. And I think in total, we got 324 signatures. And then we checked in with the admin, and she tasked us to gather data and suggest changes. And so as you can see, it's only me and Robert here today, but that doesn't mean it's just us working on the dress code. We have a vast and lovely team who are working together to help, but they aren't here tonight with us right now because they have other things and we just wanted to keep it small too. Because of that, we have taken videos of all our amazing representatives, and without further ado, I give you Belen Sampson.
The reason I think that the dress code should be changed is so parents and kids don't have to be stressing out about what to wear to school and what to pick out. And what it would mean if it changed it for me is that me and my parents can finally have some time to rest and not worry about clothes the whole day. The reason I think that the dress code
lower all representatives, and here's our other one. Don't know where the video, there it is.
school dress code should be changed because I like Vans, t-shirts with roses, and I like, I don't really like this shirt, but I like other shirts. I like other shirts like anime shirts and Nike or, yeah. And if the dress code, and if the dress code was changed, I really think that it'd be cool. And wearing like anime t-shirts or Vans with roses, yeah, it'd be cool.
That was our other lower representative, and yeah. Robert, would you take this?
Glad you asked. We have collected data from the surveys from the kindergartners. The upper and lower elementary and the middle school for elementary and middle school. Sorry. We gave them a survey that looked like the following. How do you feel about the current school dress code? I think it's great. I don't know what it is. I think it could use some changing. I completely disagree with it. Two. What do you think that should be changed? I'm sorry, do you think that should be changed? Yes, no, I don't care. What do you feel comfortable wearing to school? What changes would you make to the current dress code? Kindergarten students were interviewed one-on-one. The data. We hope to present formal graphs soon, but here is an overview of what we learned from students. About 95% of students want to change the dress code. Students want to wear sandals, head coverings like hats and hoods, spaghetti straps, graphic t-shirts, hoodies, etc.
And that's just like basic. They also have like more specific stuff, but it's like the most majority. Here are the responses to the parent survey, or at least one question of it. And so there have been some technical difficulties with this survey, so that's why we only have about 30 responses so far, but these are the responses that we have got to the question, how do you feel about the dress code? We had the same questions for the students, but we thought it might be good to ask the parents the same question as well. So, yeah. And then the responses to the parent surveys. Another question was like, what do you think the dress code should be? And we took some quotes from that, and they included some of them liked the old dress code, solid colored pants, that like colored shirts, that kind of thing. And then some of them wanted to change it to like pictures, and like some of them wanted dresses and sneakers, but like, and a lot of them, it seems, so a lot of them like enjoy, are fine with changing the dress code, but not all of it. They want to be allow kids to like express themselves, but a lot of them don't want like too many sandals or, and then some of them just don't want to change at all. And so it varies a lot, but overall, it's, they want to change some of the dress code. And if we change the dress code, we have written up a proposed dress code that is actually based on what the parents and the kids have said they wanted. And so here it is. Obviously we don't want any like weapons, drugs, alcohol, or tobacco related items like clothing or like violent things and that. And then for shirts, we don't want them like cut too low. So we thought it cannot be cut lower than your armpit would be a good compromise. And then I think no sagging pants is kind of obvious too. And then no tears or holes exposing the undergarments, which is basically what is said like above. And then for footwear, shoes should be secured around the toe and the heel. We think that there should be no heels at PE or recess activities such as basketball, foursquare, play structure, like climbing, running, etc. There are Most classrooms don't remove shoes inside the classroom, but there are a couple that do. And so if you like want to know more about this, or like you have some concerns, you should reach out to your teacher or guidance for this. And then for accessories or jewelry, any jewelry or accessory that becomes like a distraction to the wearer, like let's say I was wearing a necklace and I just kept fidgeting with it, and I didn't have like permission from the teacher, like they didn't like it, I'd have to take it off and not bring it back. And so that's what we think the dress code should be, and like majority of the kids and parents as well. And yeah. And now we want to hear what you think and what your ideas and opinions are.
Greg?
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for all this work. A couple quick questions. Did teachers get a chance to be surveyed?
Not yet. We're still working on like a good survey for that. Our goal is to do that next. That's kind of like our next move after this. Not yet.
Okay. And then one more question. Have you all that are working on the proposals, have you considered like any potential differences in dress code by levels?
We have not. I don't think it's not something that I think is like really is really necessary, because I think that would fall more into like what the parents are feeling comfortable letting their kid at that age, because I think it's really like the family's decision about that. So no, we haven't like really considered that for our proposed dress code.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments?
Ms. Jim, thank you so much. I really appreciate this, that you both have reached out to students as well as parents so far, and planning on talking with teachers. As people here know, I love data, so I really appreciate you gathering a lot of data to support your recommendations. I think wondering if you've thought about if perhaps like a trial period in terms of like changing, trying out like a new dress code for like a period of time, and seeing how it goes, and if there needs to be, you know, kind of further revisions to it before finalizing.
I'm open to that. That sounds good.
And I think to that end, it might be helpful as you're talking with teachers to think about like, how are you gonna know at the end of that trial period if it's working? Like, are you gonna be judging like kid happiness, parent happiness, teacher, like what would the impact on teachers be? Maybe teachers are gonna be happier that they don't have to like remind kids about the dress code, or, you know, teachers don't wanna play, you know, uniform police. So maybe that'll be helpful for them, right? But think about like, if you did a trial or try this out, how would you know if it was successful? And that could be a good question for teachers.
I think we would probably send out a survey like we've done about the current school dress code that would like ask people about how they felt this trial went, do they think this should go on permanently? Did they feel happier, like, or more content with it than like what the past school dress code was? And so I think that would be like what we would respond to that.
Well, I would like to echo what Greg and Jan said and say thank you very much for the work that you've done on this. It is awesome. I was wondering what caused you to take up the idea of the dress code? Like, why did you feel passionately about it?
I don't exactly remember. I think it might have been like one of my friends. I think maybe my friend Malachi might have said, like, do you guys remember in kindergarten how bad the dress code was? And it's like, you know, the dress code now is like a bit better, but I don't exactly love it either. And so then I think about 10 minutes later, I got a clipboard and started asking people to sign a petition. So I think that's probably what brought it up. Something like.
Greg?
What do you want the board to do?
I just wanted to know, like, what my next move should be, what you think about the proposed dress code, and how you feel about the current dress code, and most of those things.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a couple ideas, but then other board members could, too. I would say find the dress code language, the exact language in the handbook, and or there's also some language on the website, and change the words to what you all think they should be. Bring us a full proposal, right? Change the words to what you think they should be, and then we might agree, or we might say, what about this? You know, we might still have some back and forth, but bring us a full proposal that says what you think the word should be. That, I think that's the next step. This is great heads up, though. Thank you.
Okay, I can definitely do that.
And their presentation is in the board folder with their current proposed draft language exists in there that they shared in the slides.
Got it. Then we might think, board, do you guys have a suggestion of like which committee could maybe take this up?
I think it should be
probably exec and governance, right? To policies.
Okay. So I think we could bring it to the exec and governance, and maybe we'll invite students. Well, maybe the staff can help students know that they can join that meeting. It's during the day, so
during the day, and it's a public meeting. So if we, depending, like the greater team could actually join in person.
Oh, except that it's school will be out.
Oh, school will be out. Yeah. Meeting. Oh.
But people could join.
Zoom then.
And we'll have Zoom.
Yeah.
And possibly our student team here can like sort of finalize any proposal and, you know, give us their stuff before next Friday.
Well, and in between that time,
well, I
was just going to say, in between that time, one of us could meet with the students directly too and work on something more directly as well.
It would be great to for us for that meeting to have some of the teacher input by that time. I'll tell you, board feedback, I wouldn't feel good about approving it before knowing that teachers were really like behind it. So maybe that can be in your last week here, before you guys go out in summer, get the data from the teachers, and then that we can look at that at the exec meeting and work on it there.
I think Anna has her hand raised as well.
Hi. I'm wondering, is Nola still on?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Nola, I'm wondering if in your conversations with other students, one of the things that I liked about the idea of the original dress code was the attempt to make sure that students didn't feel like they had to have this expensive kind of clothes or this certain thing, like that they could, you know, that people wouldn't be teasing each other or giving each other a hard time about what they were wearing. And my impression has been that hasn't been an issue at the school too much, but I would be interested to hear if you feel like in your experience or the people you know, if there has been any of that kind of like, do people have the right shoes or, you know, because whatever the dress code is, I would just want to know, how can we continue to have, you know, how can we have a culture where students feel can express themselves, but not have a lot of pressure to have to wear a certain thing or buy a certain thing. And, you know, dress code, having a strict dress code is one way that schools try to do that. And I think there are other ways, but I'm just wondering, do you feel like, has that been an issue that people sort of get teased about the clothes they wear or pressured to wear certain things? Or, and do you think with a new dress code, is there anything that maybe we should do?
I can't think of a time where there's ever been like somebody teasing another person about what they're wearing. I think like sometimes like friends will like do that as like a playful joke, but I don't think there's any been like actual teasing or bullying about that. And I don't think having, and I know that some students actually will like wear branded stuff, even if it's against the dress code. And again, I've never seen any like teasing about somebody wearing like something and somebody not. But so I don't think that that will really change if we have a less strict dress code.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I know we could ask these two questions probably all night. And I told them 6:30 to 7-ish. So I'm looking at the clock now. And Robert, Nola, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate you presenting tonight. And
thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you, guys.
And we can really check great. In tomorrow about next steps.
More to come.
Tuesday. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll check in tomorrow. You can make it too. You're welcome to stay and listen to the rest of the meeting. I don't exactly recommend it, but you're going to. Robert's like, bye. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
For our report. So on to the next, whatever the next agenda item is.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Just to confirm, are there any questions for Krishna about the head of school report, either from board members or the public?
I had a question.
Yeah.
All right, going back, really excited about the residency training program, and echo what Sarah said about how quickly you all put it together. I was wondering about how is it working with funding and fees? Are there fees for the teachers?
There's no fees for teachers. It's free for employees. Any employee that was offered to 100% of current employees and is potentially would be offered to new hires that were hired within the time frame that they'd be able to start, and otherwise it would be offered in the next cohort. We are working on some sort of like contracts, like a big word, but commitment language around what that, like what commitment are employees making in exchange for the financial investment that the organ's going to make in this. And then like in terms of like the complex budget and long-term budget numbers, those are still pending, but like so far it's not actually been that much money off the ground, and we'll see some of that in finance. So we'll talk more about like that in finance of like what will be available this year and next year in terms of investment without even hitting our reserves. Essentially, there's quite a that'll come up in a minute. There's some good financial details pending. Does that help, Jan? Did I answer your questions?
Yep. Thank you.
Was the training offered to people outside of the school? Was there any invitation to non-current teachers?
Yes. And there's a lot of like program requirements that, so like it's more likely to be a school membership type program, because we couldn't invite, say, a parent community member in, because you need to be working in a position that applies at our school or another public Montessori school with a similar setup with a coach, and there's other requirements. So like it's not just open for a single individual to enroll. We are in conversation with A couple of other schools, one of which is nearly committed for next year's cohort and just couldn't fit the timelines for us this year. They really wanted to join us this year in it, but their summer, their year-long calendar didn't match quite right to do it on short notice. So we're hoping to invite at least that school and maybe another school into our second cohort next year. You want to add to that, Daniel?
Yeah, we have interest from that second school. Is that still okay? Second school. There are different things that are. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Try again.
So the second school, there's still some interest for maybe getting one or two from that school in. There are some complexities around the requirements that have to happen during the school year around what specific staff they have around supporting that candidate throughout the year, right? So they have to have like an on-site coach. They have to have somebody that's coming in from outside to kind of see what the progress looks like. So pending all those things, it's possible. But we definitely went into it thinking about it being for the first round, while we kind of iron out all the details, it being just a in-house training.
Any other questions for Christian or Daniel? Right. If there are no other questions from board or public, then I will hand it over to Greg to discuss finance.
Yeah. So first, I'm going to. First, there was not a finance committee meeting. I think this might have been the second one we missed in a row. So sorry about that, everybody. I will take full responsibility. We couldn't make it last Thursday because my family had to go to Children's Hospital, which we are now not at, which is great. And things are much, 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 much better. But that's why we couldn't have a finance committee meeting because we didn't have quorum. But a lot of stuff has happened since the committee met. And I did have a chance to meet with Josh just one-on-one. I'm excited to share the latest. So first, we're going to talk about this year relatively briefly, and just a little bit more as we think about next year's budget. So for this year, and all of the documents are on the agenda, we're looking at these are the actuals through the end of April. So we always can only look through the past month. So the operating deficit is about the same, one-time operating deficit of about $200,000. There was one key piece of information in the governor's May revise that related to this year and this year's budget, which was good. And if assuming it materializes in when they adopt the budget up in Sacramento, it would improve this forecast by about $30,000 for the current year. And so then we'd be looking at about $160,000-$170,000 one-time operating deficit, which I asked Josh again today, like almost not, it's not perfect, but it's the vast majority of that is the cost of operating, you know, of keeping that third primary open, which we long ago chose to do at the beginning of the year. We didn't close it, which I still think has been the right decision. We're glad that it's open. I still think we're going to need it next year. And so that was like a one-time investment to kind of keep those kids who still don't have access to vaccines a little bit more spread out and keep our fabulous staff. And so you can just see from the prior forecast to the most recent forecast, you know, just a slight improvement by $3,500. And you can see we still end the year with a forecast of having a 27% fund balance. So that is, and then cash. I'll just share the cash dips here at the end of the fiscal year, but it will be okay. And then cash is expected it goes back up in July. So that's for this year. Are there any questions or public comments about the current fiscal year to date numbers? Nothing too dramatically different than the last time we looked at this for this current year. Okay, I'm going to keep going, but if you have a question, I'm going to pause a second again. So now we're going to move into, as we think about next year's budget, starting July 1st. The governor released his May revise. You may have all, I watched it live because I'm a nerd. Some of you may have caught it or caught news about it. You may know that California once again has record budget surpluses. So that's going to be good for schools and hopefully a lot of needed social services. Overall, there's a 10% increase in the LCFF. So that the way that EdTech is kind of calculating that 10% increase in revenue is a 6.56 COLA. That's up slightly from the January proposed budget, plus $2.1 billion base grant to the local control funding formula. So that's just a short way of saying more general operating funds coming to schools. Okay. In addition, there's some one-time money that's coming to schools, which needs to be spent in a couple particular ways, but those are staffing, student learning, and mental health are pretty easy ways for schools to spend money. So those are almost also almost like general operating kind of and spending on whatever you need to dollars. And then there's also some pending changes about, and this is what I was talking about for this year, about how to support this year's attendance because of COVID and stuff like that. And that's where that $30,000 I was talking about is what if the legislature adopts, they're likely to drop this choice option where you have the school have like three different ways to calculate how they want to get funded for this year. And obviously every school will just pick the way that helps them generate the most revenue. And so one is your current year actual 80. There's a lot of jargon, or you know, your P2 ADA, or you can use your prior year P2 ADA, that's what the PY is, or your fiscal, you can get a fiscal year 21 growth waiver, or your current year enrollment based ADA with times your minus your current year CalPADS times your fiscal. Okay, so there you go. And it, for us, Josh said we the one we would choose would work out to about $30,000, and I think this is another way of him saying that. And then here's the May, MR is the May revise. So again, an increase for us, for this is for us. We're looking at an additional about $646,000 in the draft budget going into next year. This has not, you know, been approved. The legislature and the governor have until June 15th to pass a budget, which they usually do. And then what they do is they pass trailer bills after that. So they hit their constitutional deadline of June 15th, but then they have like mechanisms for going longer if they need to. So here is what it all boils down to. The last time we looked at a draft budget, which was in April, when I believe at the board meeting, and we said the finance committee had some work to do, well, and we had needed to hear the May revise, we were looking at a $76,000 operating deficit, which was an improvement from the current year one of $200,000. But with the May revise, and without a lot of other changes, we're now looking at an operating income of $313,000. So there's definitely been a swing of dollars to support. And I'll just note right at the top, this include, you know, fundraising and grants is budgeted currently at $168,000 total. So that's grants and, you know, private funder grants, but also, you know, family fundraising and various events. But if you took out all of that revenue, the operating income would still be, you know, you can do the math, not quite $150,000. So in some ways we are at the point where like we are affording our public Montessori school on public dollars alone. Like that's the moment we're about to be in, which is a lot of hard work that Christian's been doing. And there will be between now and June, I'll just say what I'm sure is going through Christian's mind. There will be expenses to be added to this budget. There will be things that, you know, or revenue might not come in slightly as high, or maybe there won't be quite as many students as we're hoping to enroll to, or who knows. So things always change. But we're in a good place, and that means there's resources here as those training center expenses come up to get going with and all that sort of stuff. And so you can see we're talking about we're increasing the fund balance currently, and yeah. So that's the overview. Finance committee is definitely going to be looking in June, you know, any the ed tech tracks, you know, the latest proposals coming out of the legislature, how close are they already in alignment in and in agreement with the governor's proposal so they can like bake in those assumptions, which ones are still like, are they arguing over? But yeah, I'll stop there again. If there are any questions about next year's budget and how the numbers shake out.
Can you remind me, Greg, what's the enrollment? What's the projected enrollment that this is based on?
It is based on, that's in the other one.
406.
406, yeah.
Yep, 406. We're shooting
and Krishna, based on your enrollment update earlier, or are you still feeling good about the 406?
Yes, we're shooting for 420. We budgeted for 406. I don't think we'll hit 420. I think we'll hit 406 for sure. And if it shifts, like we watch that, and you'll see those shifts in real time every month. If and when they're, you know, we've now learned through pandemic times that things can happen that we didn't expect. So we just adjust.
In the past couple of years. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It's a different question. So
that's fine.
That's what you're.
No, no, okay. Go ahead.
I was just curious, is the increase in the compensation and benefits line mean that we're looking to hire additional staff, or is that a reflection of raises that you're hoping to give?
I think that's both. There's definitely a new director of expanded learning now in the budget.
Yeah, and I think there's an additional SSA, and we're currently still budgeting for a third lead middle school teacher or at least an additional adult, though that may shift depending on the number of, that'll depend on the actual final number of sixth graders that move to seventh. And there's lots of significant raises.
I was going to add that in the past couple of years, my understanding has been that when they adopt the budget, it either looks, it's either similar to what the governor proposes in May or a little bit more revenue for schools, that the legislature pushes the governor a little further. That's been my understanding.
And Greg, those other state revenues line, that's the one-time funds?
Yeah, there's some, yeah, that's like, there's like 400, there's about 400. So what EdTech has done, because it's not law yet, but they are feeling, you know, based on what they understand, they booked about $400,000 in additional state one-time funds in revenue, but only booked $200,000 in this budget of expenses. So, and if you look in the details, it's under us, the director's contingency line item is a little bit bigger. Normally we use that line item for an attendance percentage hedge. It's actually currently a little bigger. So the thinking there is if in a month, if they adopt the law, the budget, and it's not actually that much one-time money, well, we can reduce our director's head, you know, money, and then also lower the revenue, but that 313 number roughly is unchanged. So we actually, if they actually adopt what the proposal is, there's another almost $200,000 on top of the 313,951.
But that is just then for the one-time fund.
One-time funds. So you know, lots of good ways for schools to spend. One-time funds are like classroom material, those expensive Montessori classroom materials, getting a teacher training program up and running. There's definitely ways to responsibly spend those dollars, which are currently, a lot of them are in the budget somewhere else. So. We'll be looking at, if that happens, the finance committee will be looking at conversations about how much money is it appropriate to save versus how much do we need to continue to invest right now in the kid, you know, who needs help right now. Cause I have no problem having a healthy operating income, but we don't exist just to save the money. The other thing that's like not yet really in the budget, I'm not sure. The school, or a lot of schools, have kind of gotten back their mojo around this, but there's not much in the budget on the revenue side or the expense side around, for example, field trips, right? That's still been a little iffy for a lot of schools. So that's an area, you know, if we get to a point where that feels like the right thing to do, that's an investment that we've certainly made in the past that we could start to make again, which is not yet accounted for it in this budget.
And Greg, I assume you say field trips, that also includes camp, correct?
Yeah, like a camping trip has been a long time ago now, a major school investment. Yeah. Any other questions about the draft budget, things you want the finance committee to look at in June? Kara, I'll just share, I just had a moment to text Sita that earlier today saying, hey, I'd love to update you on the latest numbers. Like, I really think there's a conversation here for admin and FAC to have about if this really moves forward, this is the first time the school's been in a position like this. So like, what's the right way to think about family fundraising? What's the right, what's the right number? Because we could literally, like Josh could literally zero out fundraising and grants. Doesn't mean we can't raise money. We just aren't planning on it, right? And then we could lower the operating income, or we could keep it in the revenue and keep the higher operating income. You know, that's just a shell game.
We could pay our teachers a living wage, right?
Yeah.
6+ years of college and enough to live locally.
From the family fundraising perspective, I am confident that there are people with specific interests who would be interested in raising around specific projects that we've always sort of nixed because our fundraising goes into the general fund, and that's a conversation we can have as FAC and admin.
Any other questions or public comments for me?
Can I jump in on along those lines, the family fundraising part? I guess, you know, if we're as we wade into that part, we could also think about, like, currently staff appreciation is outside of family fundraising, right? And it's working okay, I think. But again, if we're sort of looking at big picture, that's something to look at. But I think it also, that kind of fundraising also works as a specific thing, like families sort of give towards staff appreciation as a specific thing in a different way than if you throw it into a general fund kind of thing. So, but anyways, it could just be a conversation of whether it makes sense to officially change that relationship of how we do that fundraising.
I would love to be a thought partner in that room, but I don't need to be a decider or anything like that. That's all. And then I did want, just speaking of family fundraising, I brought up, I asked Joshua this question today too. I'm trying to just share that right there. That $64,000 is uncategorized revenue. Okay. That's revenue. This is this year's money. I'm talking about this year. So about $64,000 has come in, but like it takes a moment to get it categorized. Oh, was that state money? Was that property tax money? Was that fundraising? You know, what is that? Josh quickly kind of scanned it, and he thought maybe $45,000 of it was going to show up in this year's fundraising, which currently is, I'm just scrolling back up. This year's is sitting at about 150. So if you add, about 45 to that, we're about, 196 maybe. We'll see when we finally close the books on this year, which was more than our original approved budget. We did revise our budget. It's not quite what we were hoping to get at the 208. But the family's fundraising has been strong this year is what I'm trying to share. I just think it's interesting that the school could be in a position, maybe for the first time ever, to just have a different conversation, have some more options about it. We don't have to change anything, but if we wanted to change how we do things, we could. All right, I think we should move on to the next agenda item.
All right. Academic Oversight Committee, Jan.
We didn't review data. We talked about SBAC testing that was happening and was going well. The state significantly shortened the test last year, and that's the test that was being used this year also. So so students were, you know, kind of cruising through. It wasn't taking out as many hours and hours as the previous version. We'll have to see if we have any preliminary data to look at in our June meeting. I think we're not sure yet.
Just in terms of the completion piece, we're doing really well. We had our last official this is this grade doing this test today, and we're moving into makeups, but we've been cranking out those makeups as we go along also. So I think we're pretty close to being done.
That's great. The main other things, we talked about were the portfolios, which came up also in the instructional report. We're really getting them started and hoping then for the beginning of next school year and kind of first round of conferences to be able to have those built out and available for families. So working towards that for next year. The transition meetings, we spent time on the LCAP. We'll again do that in June. And so if you have other comments, feel free to come there. And we can be sure that they get passed along to Danielle and Krishna. And then we spent time on academic policy is the homeless education policy, as well as the grading promotion policy, and talking about reviews and some, you know, small revisions there. That's all. Any questions?
Daniel just raced out to find a student portfolio to share, but he might not make it back. But if you want to ask a question or two while you're waiting to see that, then he'll
be very excited. In case people don't know, you know, I've been on the board for a few years now, and we've talked about portfolios. And so I said, I'm personally really excited that they are starting to be, you know, implemented. And yeah, I know that's kind of been on the agenda for a few years now, and really, really, really excited. And yeah, I think Daniel is also excited and really proud of the work that the school has done to get those implemented. And I think, yeah, parents will be excited to families. Parents and families will be excited to see them next year.
Yeah, it's definitely in implementation still, but I think we definitely have them for transitioning students 100%. And then it's like just not 100% of students. So we're hesitant to be like, parents, you might not be able to ask for your kid's portfolio. It might not be quite available. Don't stress your teacher out this week. Please don't ask them for that. but they're in progress, and we're excited about it. So we can move on, but he might turn up with it in a minute.
Any other questions for academic committee? All right, if not, we will go to executive committee. No, yeah, we didn't have executive committee this month either.
No, we're going to the FAC is what
I meant. Sorry, we're going to FAC, sorry.
I did not prepare a slideshow this week because I am getting over COVID. We had our move-a-thon a couple weeks ago, last weekend, which I am so grateful for the amount of work that Greg and Sita put into it. And I am so sad that Greg was not able to actually attend it. It was definitely, It was definitely smaller scale than our walkathons have been in the past, but everyone who was there had fun. And I did take some pictures that I should have put in a slideshow for everybody, because people were having fun and there were bubbles and there were temporary tattoos and kids were playing basketball and volleyball, and it was just a lot of fun. The bake sale was insane, and that is was organized mostly by our Manzanita students, led by Nola, who is also spearheading our uniform policy. Sita and I met briefly. We had our FAC meeting and we were the only ones there, so we talked for a little bit, but mostly we're looking at planning for next year at this point. I believe the goal is to have, once school is done and things have settled down a little bit, for Sita, Krishna and I to meet and sort of set goals and figure out paths and roles and things like that for next year. And I think we'll definitely be pulling in the family fundraising discussion into that, because it's, if we can really change how we look at it, it'll be a big deal. We had our last morning coffee last week, which I missed, and hopefully it was wonderful. We tried to change how it, rather than having one person provide everyone thing, we tried to turn it into sort of a community potluck, and I hope that was successful, and I'm sad that I missed it. One of the things we're gearing up to, it was nice.
I mostly missed it too, because I had meetings, but I ran by to refill my coffee and there were lots of assortment of lovely snacks.
Nice. And I will say, everyone who signed up for staff, when I looked at the sign up list, were not people who are usually at the morning coffee. And I thought that was significant. Nice. We're just mostly looking ahead at next year for now. Elections in the fall in terms of getting people in new and exciting roles in the FAC. That is pretty much everything, if anyone has any questions. I think Daniel is back with the portfolio.
I'll just share, Daniel, we want to hear, if you brought a portfolio, we're happy to see it as part of the FAC's report, if you want.
Okay, so here's a, I wasn't sure who's to bring it, so I brought my own kids because I figured that was safest. So like a TK one, it starts off with like their self portrait on the front, right? And then there's a sampling of work. There's like pictures of them working in the classroom. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Writing samples of like what they're working on. So that's like a story with drawings and writing, right? Are you yawning at my kids' work, Greg?
No,
but just a bunch of work samples. There's a whole section around data, around kind of sight words and which ones they know and don't know. And then just a sampling of writing. There's some math in there, art, and pictures also. So this one has a lot of stuff in it, but that's kind of what the primary teams have been working on. And I know that a bunch of the LA and UE teams are putting things together also. So yeah, see. Exciting to see.
Thank you for running and grabbing that. Kara, back on the move-a-thon, I just wanted to share, I definitely had way more dreams than I was able to execute on, because we got COVID about 2 weeks before, 2.5 weeks before the move-a-thon. All five of us got it at home, and that stopped me from being able to like come in and help the middle schoolers kind of put the finishing touches on some of their activities. And I know that that probably contributed to some of the wane, you know, the dwindling, their capacity kind of dwindled there. Some of them, you know, we were going to figure out some transportation and all sorts of stuff that probably just couldn't happen. So I was sorry to them. I did send the teachers a note to pass on to them that I was sorry that it worked out like that. I spoke to about four different families who all were there, and they said it was a blast. So, and the shade got finished on the pergola thing too, which has been cool. So I just, huge appreciation to you, Kara, Krishna, Sita. You guys came in and just like took it and made it happen there in the last like 10 days, and thank you.
Yeah, the shade thing was a huge boon. Basically, everyone was huddled under the shade thing for most of the day. Kids were doing laps, but then they'd come and sit in the shade and blow bubbles in color. It was awesome.
Anything else for FAC? All right. If not, now we will move on to exec committee.
I can share since Christina's not here. We met and we discussed the head of schools evaluation process, which where we are in that process is folks are finalizing their eval surveys through Board on Track. Some of you may have just completed it, or you will maybe later tonight. And then we discuss those sorts of things in closed session. And then we'll still look to approve an evaluation in June so that we can share it with Ms. Krishna shortly after. We also discussed the board assessment, so our own board assessment, and I put some high-level results on the agenda. We kind of zeroed in on a few areas where we kind of acknowledged a few areas where both Krishna and board were kind of in the same place and were kind of high. And then we kind of zeroed in on a few areas where we might feel like we might have either been low or not on the same page. So a couple of the I'll just share. There are plenty of areas where we're high, a lot of good things going on. But on the low areas, it was, you know, so some high areas were like the board meetings generally, you know, feel organized. The finances of the school seem on track and organized, and that the school leaders generally feels supported. But areas where kind of all together kind of come together where we want to do more work and everyone was kind of agreeing was around board recruitment and our board composition. We are almost in a few short weeks, we're going to be almost entirely parents of students at the school, you know, with very few of us who are not parents at the school. And that can bring all sorts of dynamics as well, even though many of us, we each bring skills and capacities. And then just being clear around the board's goals and annual goals or committee goals and things like that, and being, you know, more transparent about progress towards those goals. So those are some areas that came up. Another area that I'm reminded of real quick was just some of the newer board members reported like wanting more training or just didn't know some things. And then some of the more experienced board members were like, oh, no, that was fine. Those things are fine. So, you know, I think it's just my every month call to say, you know, if there's a thing you need more training on, or if you are one of those new board members and, you know, you've now realized, hey, you never told me that, you know, that wasn't in the email you sent me before I joined the board or whatever, that's good feedback for us, because we often use those same kind of templates over and over again as we're training. And if people want more of a training on, you know, how to read the financial documents, or if people want more a training on, you know, how to conduct the meeting, just ask. And then speaking of training, the other thing we discussed was that Sarah went off and got training organized and with Ms. Krishna. So you all got an email today from the lawyers with training materials on the Brown Act, on conflict of interest law, on I think the Fair Political Practices, you know, Commission and that law. So training webinar and slides, so that you all have access to all the training that you legally are required to have. So, you know, you need to complete that. Go review all that. That's a huge piece of our work and each of our responsibility. We discussed some school policies, just like academic committee. We looked at conflict of interest code, the uniform complaint policy, the calendar, our calendar for next year, like of board meetings. Real quick on that, we're recommending that the meeting time get updated to 5:30, like meet a little earlier. Zoom will still be an option. So if you don't like 5:30, you can pull that item up from the consent agenda and we can talk about it separately. We discussed the LCAP, the process to date. We discussed, you know, the latest updates at that time. And then lastly, we discussed that Sarah had started, she picked up where Jan had done some work with staff exit surveying. And Sarah's picked up that work and is working to kind of make a system around it to actually get that kind of more so we can keep doing it. So thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Jan, again, for starting that. And thank you, Sarah, for kind of picking up and running with that as well. And that was, I think, what else do I want to recruit? So finish your evaluation survey, turn in your Form 700 if you haven't done it yet. You too, Ms. Krishna. recruit, if anyone's got board members, potential board members that you want to recruit, send, you know, talk to them about serving on the board, send them to Davis, send them to me, send them to Krishna. They can ask questions. And I think that's what I've got for the committee's report. And we can discuss anything or if people have questions or public comments. Okay, seeing as none right then, no discussion on any of that, I'll just share one more quick thing we discussed was I created a draft, very draft, proposal of the next item, which is starting July 1st, our board officer roles and committee membership roles. So the item 6B is, do we need to make any changes right now for now through June? I'm guessing we probably don't need to make any committee changes or officer changes right now. But we definitely next month will make changes starting in July. So if you want to see that proposal, I know Ms. Krishna had it on her list to reach out to some folks about board role stuff. And so I don't know how much of that has happened yet. Yeah, she's writing it down again. But the proposal... if you want to know the proposal, you can. It's actually public. You can get to it through the governance page of the website, where we keep a spreadsheet that lists all the current assignments, the committee assignments, and committee and board officer roles, which you can access through the public website. And now there's a new tab called Draft Proposal or something like that. So if you're curious, but it's not, nothing's real until we all ourselves vote on it. So there you go. So does anyone need to make a change for June or? So I think we don't need item that B, and we're on to 7A. Is that good, Davis?
Yes, sir.
Always a lot going on today. Just in terms of, I'll just do a quick agenda check. It's 7:41. This item comes up at 7:48, so we're doing pretty well here on terms of our timing. Today was the last day of school for Oakland Unified School District. So there you go. So if you see more students out and about tomorrow, or young people out and about tomorrow.
Yesterday was the last day of school.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was today.
He's right. No.
It was yesterday.
I'm going to pull up the calendar. I'm going to pull up the calendar and Zoom chat it, but I'm probably wrong. I'm totally wrong.
I did not bring my child to school today.
Nah, okay. There you go. So I've never known school to get out that early. I mean, but here we are. They also, one other, you know, one key announcement on the OUSD staff side is that they've hired a new director of charter schools for the OUSD staff, Kelly Craig Arnold. And I know that our staff has worked with Ms. Craig Arnold, excuse me. No, Krishna, sorry. Before regarding like our leases here at different sites. Yeah, sorry.
All the lease stuff, all the Prop 51, lots of the conversation also that has come and gone, like comes and goes around them wanting us to come in district. That's all Kelly. So I was texting with her earlier.
So we just want to wish her a huge congratulations. It's she's stepping into this role, and it's also, you know, and also just like, thank you. You know, thank you for that public service, because it's a lot, it's a big job, it's a lot of work. I mean, the biggest state updates were around the budget, and I already shared about the May revise. I guess one more OUSD thing I wanted to share is that they are gonna soon decide if they're gonna ask Oaklanders to reapprove Measure N either in 2022, like this November, or if they're gonna wait and ask us to reapprove it in 2024. That is a 10-year parcel tax that supported all the high school linked learning pathway work that OU Oakland high schools and charter run schools have done. And so I just wanted to flag it because I'm happy to say I'll be voting yes for that whenever that hits the budget or hits the ballot. But that's just me personally. So keep your eye on however you're going to vote. Just make sure you go out and vote. There's an election going on right now, actually. So go vote. The county superintendent election is up. There's some county board seats up. There's you got to vote for a state senator. You got to vote for all sorts of stuff. So go vote.
Hey, Greg, have you heard anything about State Bill AB 2485?
I have like heard
facility.
Yeah, that related to schools facility, like charter facilities and
yeah,
and access to SB 740 money and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have heard there's some pending bills that could particularly impact charter run schools in privately owned facilities.
Okay.
Yes. And I believe the little I know about it is that I think, you know, that it's been proposed and that if it passed like as current language, it would basically make things could be things much more expensive, like change the budgets of a lot of those schools super fast. So I think the California Charter Schools Association is pretty involved on that one right now and is trying to make sure that legislators understand the impact that the law would have and make sure folks are clear-eyed around that one for sure.
Okay. What was it, Sarah?
2485. Assembly bill. I literally don't know anything about it except I knew it was about charter facilities. So.
Yeah, I think I really don't have a good. I believe it has something to do with like capping the access to SB 740 money, which is the rent reimbursement. But I could really have it wrong. I do think it has to do with facilities and charter run schools in privately owned facilities, not school district facilities. Yeah. All right. Anyone else have other state, city, county updates? All right. I'm going to keep us moving then here as we hit to the end. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting?
I will move to approve those minutes from last meeting.
I second.
All right, so that's a motion by Davis and a second by, that was Sarah, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Here we go. Get ready to unmute. Davis, how do you vote?
Aye.
Donald?
Aye.
This is Greg. I vote aye. Jan?
Aye.
Kara?
Aye.
And Sarah?
Aye.
Motion is approved. Is there a motion? Does anyone need to discuss the general consent report? We can discuss it all as one, or any public comment on the consent report? Any of the items up? Or does anyone need to pull an item for a separate discussion? All right. Oh, and on my computer, it doesn't look like the student grading promotion policy is linked. It doesn't look like it is, but it is. If you hover over it. So it's there. It should be there. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the consent report?
I will move.
Is there a second? Thank you, Kara. All right. Davis, how do you vote?
Aye.
Donald? Donald, I couldn't hear you.
Aye.
There you go. This is Greg. I vote aye. Jan?
Aye.
Kara?
Aye.
And Sarah?
Aye.
All right. It passes. So I'll make sure all the policy language gets updated with tonight's date and uploaded into Board on Track to replace the old versions. So before we go into closed session, tonight the board's going to go into closed session. It's 7:48 right now, so we'll do it in just a moment on our public employee performance evaluation of our head of school, which is what we pretty much do every month. Before we do that, is there any public comment on that item? All right, hearing none, then I'm going to pause the recording. We're going to go into closed session here at 7:48.
Hi, everyone. It is 8:02. We are returning to open session. There were no actions taken, and we are going to adjourn the meeting at 8:02. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.